But with respect to how you treat the answers to the questions one asks jurors, it is not our position that the independent life option must be provided. The states are free to shape and guide how the sentencer deals with answers to questions that are clearly put. In that connection, I think it's worth noting that counsel here, contrary to the assertion made, did seek to give the jurors a life option. At Joint Appendix 128, there's the requested instruction as to whether mitigating outweighs aggravating so the defendant can be rehabilitated. So there was some effort to ameliorate, which was turned back by the trial judge. But more significantly, in our respectful submission, what has happened since 1984, and particularly since 1987, is that this adversary process is supposed to work in a particular way. And the respondent is plain wrong in not recognizing that a majority of this court said in Saffo versus Parks that the state may not cut off full and fair consideration, not some consideration, not a little bit, not by torturing the language, but full and fair consideration. And here's Dorsey Johnson. Justice O'Connor, when I was on my feet before, I'd forgotten Sandra Lockett was 21, and Hitchcock was 20. And why that escaped my mind, I don't have any good reason for. Ultimately...
A little older. And Mr. Tiger, could I ask you... With this open-ended question that you say every state presents to the jury, do you think there's any real likelihood that you would be up here arguing someday that this making the same argument prevailed in Furman, that there is really that everything is up for grabs for the jury, and there's no real way to know how jury operates? Reason, moral judgment, what does that mean?
Justice, I will not be here.
You will not ever come up here making that argument.
I will never make that argument, Justice White, because I don't regard it as...
Somebody may not hire you, but...
Well, I have no control over that, but that does not accord with this court's precedence in any sense of the word. That is to say, this court has shorn off the mandatory parts. It has directed the individualized inquiry. I have spent the whole of my law life believing that jurors do reach moral responses, but I have spent an equal amount of time seeking instructions that make sure those responses are reasoned. I don't find in the use of that phrase anything other than an apt...
Would you have made the arguments that were made in Furman in favor of the defendants?
Justice White, had I at that time been asked to argue broadly about the constitutional defects of the death penalty system, I might very well have made such arguments, but I am here...
But what if you'd have been writing in a law journal article as a professor? Would you have said that is the result that should obtain in Furman?
I might very well at that time have said that that is the result that should have obtained in Furman, Justice White, but I wish to insist equally that I have read carefully the court's opinion in Graham. And I believe that we have fully addressed the considerations that you put on the table there about what this court has taught. Those were the past. And in the six times before I've been here, the court, and particularly Justice White, has reminded me that one day I may argue one thing, and then I'll see what the court does and try to take account of it. I regard that as my duty.
And you should, as you should, as a good lawyer.
I think that finally where this comes out is this: that the factual inquiry posed by these two special issues is appropriate perhaps to the guilt phase. That's where we make factual inquiries to begin with. We treat the defendant as if the defendant understood. This is the sort of Kantian imperative. But in this sentencing phase, we ask the real question: who is this defendant? What choices did he or she make, and how did he or she come to make them? This is not a wide-open, rootless inquiry, particularly in light of Lockett and Eddings. And I close, Justice White, by saying again that I think your opinion for the court in Morgan versus Illinois is the guidepost we can follow, because there, legality is
flattery
the word.
Flattery is a great thing. Flattery is a great thing.
I feel disabled from responding to it. That's
my intent.
That being the case, if there are no further questions, I respectfully request leave to yield the remainder of my time.
No, I would still like to have you tell me, because I'm not as familiar as some of the others are, why is the Morgan case relevant?
Because, Justice Stevens. In Morgan, the court dealt with a juror who said, I don't care what the instructions are, I won't follow them. Morgan, in the last part where the court speaks of the dissent and the dissent's view of the court's precedents, puts the Morgan holding firmly in the context of everything the court had done since Woodson, and then reaffirms the conclusion. The notion is that having a juror who says, I don't care what the instructions are, I won't follow it, that's illegality, that invalidates the process. We say that's the same as, indeed not as bad as, not giving the jurors any instruction at all about full and fair consideration of this very uniquely powerful category of mitigating evidence. That to us is a part of this process of making sense, a part of this process of saying that there is a response to be called for, and yes, it is moral, but that the process of reason, controlling what some judges, Judge Higginbotham of the Fifth Circuit, has called black box decisions, must be one of which the touchstone is legality.
One other question, Mr. Tiger. If we were to attach significance to reason, moral response, would that permit the imposition of the death penalty in the same category of cases that was permissible at the time Furman was decided?
It would permit it in the sense that...
For example, for rape, or...
You mean with respect to categories of offenses? Absolutely not, Justice Stevens, because the court, reasoned moral response becomes newly important since 1987 because the court has rejected the categorical imperative of life with respect to offenses such as rape, and the categorical imperative of death with respect to offenses such as rape, and the categorical imperative of life with respect even to youthful and mentally retarded offenders.
So, thank you, Mr. Tiger. I think you've answered the question. The case is submitted.
The Honorable Court is now adjourned until Monday next at 10 o'clock.